Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
14 killed, 35 injured in the terror attack in New Orleans. 15 if you count the terrorist. And then a guy explodes in a Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. Happy New Year. Great to be with you as we start another year. I think it's going to be a great year. I'm excited for it. Obviously, none of us want to be talking about two terror attacks as we begin the year, but that's where we are. Good news, though, is Americans are incredibly resilient. People are watching the Sugar Bowl today. They're back at it, and they're back on Bourbon Street, day drinking, destroying their livers, something a terrorist can't do. And that's the way we do it. Life goes on. So that's the beautiful thing about it. But how did we get here, and how is it that the FBI missed this guy? It seems like they always miss these people. They always miss these people, but yet they always seem to go after the wrong people, right? And that's something in this country. Now, I do want to change gears briefly for a moment and talk about the speaker race, because Mike Johnson is hanging on by a thread here. Over the weekend, President-elect Trump, tweeted out his support for Mike Johnson. The problem, though, is that there are a number of, I wouldn't say the problem, I'd say the problem for Mike Johnson. The problem for him is that there are many Republicans, conservatives who feel burned by the guy, and they want to see him go. They don't want him around. House Republicans have 219 seats, compared with 215 for Democrats who are expected to stay united in backing Hakeem Jeffries. The math means that if only one other Republican joins Tom Massie in opposing Speaker Mike Johnson, Johnson could fall short of a majority. While other Republicans have grumbled about Johnson, they say the speaker vote could go to several rounds. No one has said they would vote against him. I think the big part of that is because ever since Trump weighed in, they don't want to risk crossing the speaker and also crossing the president-elect. Representative Ralph Norman of South Carolina told Axios a growing number of members want, at minimum, assurances from Johnson on meaningful cuts to spending before they vote to reelect him. Now, that congressman joins roughly a dozen Republicans who declined to comment on voting for Johnson even after Trump endorsed him. Representative Lauren Boebert is the latest, with her office declining to comment on Tuesday when asked how she plans to vote. Right now, Massie, at least as of today, is the only one who is confirmed to be voting for someone other than Johnson, although Representative Chip Roy of Texas is also looking to try to recruit people to vote against Speaker Mike Johnson. And I don't know if Chip Roy has publicly said yet he'll back Johnson or not. And obviously, Trump went after him last week or the week before, so he doesn't seem to mind being in the crosshairs of Donald Trump. But then who is the question? Who would get the job? Would there be enough support for, say, a guy like Tom Massie? And I don't know, but I do know, though, that probably Trump weighing in means Johnson will probably get in there. That's my guess, that any little attempted coups will be used. Ultimately, it'll support Johnson in the end, but people will try to get something out of it, whether it's a better committee assignment or more money for their district or something. But that's what will probably happen as this goes on. Now, the other thing I want to mention to you is that on the way out the door, Joe Biden is trying to end offshore drilling throughout the entire United States of America. He's trying to do that by executive action on the way out the door. And something else that became a story last week while I was away is COVID. As we're all talking about the bird flu right now and whether or not we need to have more pandemic protocols over the bird flu, a story about COVID came out and the lab leak theory, which is not a theory. In fact, hat tip to our buddy Johnny Cook, who tweeted out over the weekend a link to an old NPR story calling the COVID lab leak theory a debunked conspiracy theory several years ago. Politico has a piece: as the COVID lab leak suspicion lingers, the World Health Organization is urging China to share virus origin data. Now, the World Health Organization was very early on telling China and the world, I should say doing the bidding of China before the world, and saying, oh, yeah, this thing definitely came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. No doubt about that. But since we all know it came from a lab, and now I guess people in the World Health Organization are thinking to themselves, maybe we should try to do anything we can to rebuild our reputation. World Health Organization has urged Beijing to share data on the origins of the coronavirus 5 years after the bug that ravaged the world was first detected in the Chinese city of Wuhan. Which is actually not true, because it was actually detected in the fall of 2019. So if you want to say 5 years from the fall of 2019, then the five-year anniversary was back in September, October, like that. It's not now. Although everybody will think this is the anniversary of it, it's actually not. It was actually back in the fall of 2019. We continue to call on China to share data and access so we can understand the origins of COVID-19. This is a moral and scientific imperative, the World Health Organization said in a statement on Monday. Without transparency, sharing, and cooperation among countries, the world cannot adequately prevent and prepare for future epidemics and pandemics. Now, back in 2021, a team led by the World Health Organization traveled to Wuhan and said at the time it had probably been transmitted from bats to humans, but added that more research was necessary. Now, so if that's the case, then why is the World Health Organization asking for more origins on the virus now from China? And I wonder if it has something to do with President Trump about to take office, because I wonder whether or not the National Institutes of Health and all these other agencies are going to turn around and tell the World Health Organization to go F off, which is to fund off into the sunset. Goodbye. We're not cooperating with you anymore. Because the World Health Organization is a compromised organization, like the World Bank, like the Bond villains who meet at Davos, like the WEF and all the other people, the World Economic Forum. And they exist to do the political bidding of countries like China. And that's what they did early on, telling us that COVID couldn't spread by human-to-human transmission. Do you remember that early on in the COVID pandemic? I do. I remember the World Health Organization said that. Beijing hit back Tuesday at the World Health Organization's comments, saying it has shared information on COVID without holding back. Right. On the issue of COVID-19 traceability, China has shared the most data and research results and made the greatest contribution to global traceability, excuse me, said Mao Ning, a spokesperson for the foreign ministry. The World Health Organization's international experts have repeatedly said that during their visit to China, they went to all the places they wanted to go and met all the people they wanted to see. How come we never went there? How come the United States of America never went to the labs and looked around and did all the other things? We weren't allowed to, that's why. So we had to take the word of the WEF, even as the WEF went and defended China publicly for the longest time. In 2023, genetic data gathered from a live food market in Wuhan was uploaded by Chinese scientists to an international database, which linked COVID-19 with raccoon dogs. I don't know about you, but some good old fried raccoon dog is delicious. We had it on New Year's Eve, as a matter of fact. I just made sure I ordered it medium well. Pittsburgh charred on the outside. I like my raccoon dog a little bit crispy on the outside. But in the old days, I would order it rare, you know, Pittsburgh rare, which is nice and charred. The raccoon dog, you bite into it, it's all bloody, and you know. But I don't really believe anything that these people say, because we also know that based on the conclusion of the United States intelligence community, they're now all saying the virus most likely came from the lab. Translation, it 100% came from the lab. I don't doubt that they were able to find genetic data at the wet market. That's the closest place where people who worked at the lab would go to lunch. China has nevertheless faced criticism for its approach to communication about the outbreak, having stifled domestic reporting and imposed controls on scientific research into the origins of the virus. It also initially blocked entry to the World Health Organization team in 2021 and tightly controlled the visit after it was allowed to go ahead. Chinese officials also suggested that the disease could have come from overseas. That was my favorite. When China said it actually came from America, we put it into TV dinners, microwave TV dinners. Now, believe me, there's a lot of chemicals and additives and all kinds of things in TV dinners, no doubt. And that's what makes them so delicious. Hungry man, right? A little brownie, a little apple pie. Exactly. But not COVID. No, we didn't put it in TV dinners and send it over to China. But they tried to blame us, saying that we put it in frozen food. That was one of their excuses back then. According to the World Health Organization, more than seven people have died from COVID or with COVID, while more than 760 million cases have been recorded worldwide. In May of 2023, it said COVID-19 was no longer a public health emergency. I just have to wonder, when you think about the people that will hopefully get into the National Institutes of Health, the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and all the other people who will go in there and will actually go after funding for the World Health Organization, if the Democrats had been in charge, what you would have seen was you'd have seen an expansion of the global pandemic treaties, which is a translation for America. You give up your sovereignty whenever there's a public health emergency and you take orders from who? The World Health Organization. That's who. The Bond villains over there. Now, Donald Trump's not going to play that game. No chance. But it is interesting now that the World Health Organization is raising these questions on the eve of Trump's inauguration, because guess who provides the majority of funding for the World Health Organization? We do. Of course, we provide the majority of funding for all of these international organizations. In fact, based on the money that the United States provides to the United Nations and through the USAID and all the other little groups there, we've talked to Dr. Victoria Coates about this, and we'll talk more about it with her next week when she's back on the show. She's traveling today. We have funded a lot of terrorism in the world with our money that we've given to these feel-good humanitarian groups. But the United States primarily is the source of funding for the World Health Organization as well. And China is also up there. But they decided that they were going to back China and not be transparent with the world. They didn't do their job. So the question is, why would we give them another dollar? And we shouldn't. We obviously should not do that. The biggest loser of 2024, Barack Obama. Now, the closest biggest loser would be George Clooney. The two of them were in on it together. But boy, did Barack Obama lose a ton of street cred in 2024? That's right, he did. Barack Obama turned out to be the biggest loser of the year because he was the guy that orchestrated the coup against Joe Biden. And Joe Biden came out over the weekend and said he thinks he could have beaten Donald Trump, which is fine. I mean, let the old man have his fantasies. He wouldn't have beaten Donald Trump, but let him believe that. And I told you, Joe Biden was undermining Kamala Harris at every single turn. They shivved him. They pushed him out of the race. They backed Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden wanted no part of it. So Joe Biden undermined her candidacy so that he can go back on the beach and tell everybody that he remains the only person who ever, and I'm using air quotes here, beat Donald Trump. Now, you know who made a joke about this on New Year's Eve is Whitney Cummings, the comedian who was on CNN. And actually, talk about a mic drop moment on CNN. So comedian Whitney Cummings, who's definitely a comedian on the left side of the political comedy spectrum, started ripping Democrats. And Anderson Cooper looked shocked on New Year's Eve. Now, I know you weren't watching CNN on New Year's Eve, so we're actually going to give this more exposure now than anybody who watched it on CNN. But good. See, it actually went viral because Whitney Cummings is a comedian on the left. And so when she said these things, people were like, wow, I had this sent to me. And a lot of people were sending this around. So here's part one. Cut 17.
2024 election fried our brains. The Democrats couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding a body upright. Are we still rolling? Am I off?
Go for it.
It was amazing that the pro-choice party didn't give their voters one when it came to the presidential candidate. Kamala was forced on us so hard you'd think she was patented by Pfizer or Moderna, whichever one's... Oh, God. Andy just gave me a very scary look.
No!
I love going around the country. culture, because you see that Americans really are more reasonable than they would be portrayed.
Well, absolutely.
They're pretty great. And I'm playing bigger and bigger venues now. I thought being a mom would mean that less people would want to come see me. I'm now playing, you know, like 3,000 seat theaters,
awesome.
Which is about the viewership of CNN these days.
Well, nice.
Not this show, though.
Nice.
All eyes are on this show.
Wow, you're all
firing. You know,
Andy and I
had a tour. We did like 3,000
seats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for her, by the way. That's funny. And here's part two of Whitney Cummings, who goes viral for roasting CNN on the air and torching the Democrats. She had a super long list of things. Cut 18.
Let me be clear, though. 2024 was not only negative. The media wants us to believe this country is so divided, but we actually came together a lot this year. Like, as a nation, we unanimously agreed that we would rather see J-Lo in a toxic relationship than in concert. We all agree the government totally knows what drones are and are telling us. The drones are still up there, and we have no idea what's behind them. No idea. I mean, they're still up in the sky, so I guess we can rule out that they were made by Boeing. The point is, I think we all agree on a lot of things. And since I only have a minute left live on establishment media, why don't we just say a bunch of things that we know that they'll never cover? Okay, ready, go. Trump shooter didn't have any silverware in his house. No one thought that was weird. Are we still rolling? Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia put money into Disney, so just know there won't be any girl characters in the next Cars movie. Are we still rolling? This is wild. The why have so many president's chefs died? Weird. Boy Scout of America, they renamed itself Scouting America. You know who else changed their name? Sean Combs. Just saying. Let's learn something in 2025. I can't believe you guys are still letting me go. This is amazing. I love CNN. Please stop me, Andy, because I will just keep going.
Happy.
Wow. Well, I mean, in her defense at the time, no one saw it, but then it went viral, and that's when everybody saw it. Pretty funny, actually. I heard Matt DeSantis giggling in the background.
The Boeing line was very funny.
The Boeing line was very good. We know the drones weren't made by Boeing because they're still in the sky. Very good.
I do wonder if anyone would have seen it had she not tweeted it from her her ex account. Because to your point, I don't think anybody watched it live.
No. No. I mean, you're not watching CNN live on election night. Although, years ago, didn't one of them, Andy or Anderson, get bombed?
I think they still do. They do shots throughout the show.
They do shots?
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, the greater Chris on Twitter, your last show on 1220 was great. Booze, cannolis, friends, Christmas music, and the first day of my vacation. It's my first day back at work. Christmas is over. We are staring down the barrel of snow, polar vortex, and I gained 3 pounds. Today's show sucks. I feel like he's blaming us for all that's going wrong in his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we didn't do anything.
Yeah, not our fault. Snow Bunny Gal, I don't know if this is true or not. Our wildlife rehab center receives dozens of calls daily for reports of dead swans, snow geese, Canadian geese, and now the list includes hundreds of eagles, includes eagles in Northeast PA in the hundreds. All tested have tested positive for H5N1, which is a bird flu. I'm convinced it's all from the drones. Well, I don't believe the bird flu is anything we have to worry about, but I do believe they will use it to try to scare people. No doubt about that. That I definitely do believe. Oh, and I was watching Landman last night, the latest episode, which I was a little bit behind on. And the quarterback who Billy Bob Thornton's character, his hot college daughter's dating, goes on a whole tirade about the environment and the windmills killing the birds and the whales and the dolphins. And I watched it and I thought, man, it's like this guy read my mind. And then he actually went there with regards to the Trump assassination shooter, too. So Taylor Sheridan's on to something, I'm telling you. But that's why that show is doing so well. Let's see, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Bruce is in media. Bruce, how are you today, sir? Happy New Year.
Doing well, thank you.
Great.
Hello. Yeah, so I was calling about the virus. The thing that I found suspicious was prior to the virus even being mentioned or me ever hearing it, there was huge
COVID, right?
Yeah, okay. COVID. There was huge protests in China, all over the place. I mean, thousands of people in the streets. Then they started showing these videos of people mid stride in China just dropping dead right in the middle of the road. Concurrent with that, they also had all these reports of people spitting on elevator buttons and apparently trying to spread the virus. my thought that it was intentionally released to create a stir, to scare the people that were currently protesting in the streets, have a reason for them to clear the streets. They could then also, too, go after the people that they claimed were infected, which were most likely dissidents, gather them up and collect them. You know, most of them, you didn't hear from them again. They could report they died from COVID and so on. So, and then the fact that it was released also gave them some cover that this thing was just a, you know, a release of a virus that happened inadvertently. So I don't know if any of that makes any sense to anyone.
Well, I think that if there's a reason for China to do it intentionally, and I don't rule that out, I don't think we can rule anything out, I think it would have been done more to hurt Donald Trump and America than it would have been done to hurt their own people, because they don't need an excuse to go after dissidents. They do it all the time.
Well, and, you know? But I mean, the last thing they wanted is a worldwide spectacle like Tiananmen Square. They've got millions of people out there protesting by simply, you know, I don't understand what the videos were, people spitting on the buttons and the people, you know, just literally walking down the street and falling down, unless it was just a scare tactic, which I thought would be.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer to it. I don't know. I mean, they wound up eventually locking people in their homes, you know, like literally.
Right. Which my assumption is they were listed dissidents or people who were, you know, protesting.
Yeah, so yeah, I guess
just a thought.
At this point, we can't rule out any thoughts, Bruce. So thank you and have a very happy new year. I appreciate it.
As well. Take care.
All right. 855-839-1210. By the way, I should mention to you, speaking of that December 20th show, it was our biggest show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May by far in the history since we've been doing the shows. It was amazing. They had the room set for 320 and every seat was taken. They had to bring in extra chairs, and that doesn't count the people at the bar, which was the vast majority of the audience. So that's a great sign. And thank you if you joined us there. And I got so many wonderful gifts, and we're working on the thank you letters now as we speak. But it was really a fun day, a great way to end the year. Just great, great, very positive, a lot of great vibes. And I appreciate it if you joined us there in Cape May. Hopefully we'll have some dates to announce soon for 2025, but no dates on the calendar as of yet. All right. This is a man who choked up telling a disturbing story about how he thought he and his friends had avoided the New Orleans terrorists until he realized his friend was not with him. This is the kind of stuff that is just heartbreaking, but it's a reminder of, you know, what these terrorists want to achieve and the courage and heroism of all the Americans today who are going to watch that Notre Dame game and walking on Bourbon Street and day drinking and doing all the other things they're doing. In spite of this, cut number 7.
He's coming up all onto the sidewalk and all that, but by that time we had already made it inside the divot, or is what I thought. Mm-hmm. Until once we get inside the divot and the car passes, I turn around to like look who's all in here, because it was supposed to be 3 of us. I turn around to look who's all in here, and I don't see my friend. And I just start screaming and yelling, and I'm like, nah, where are you? And I turn and I look in the street, and her right leg is flipped like horror movie style over her back, and it's just blood.
Awful. Really heartbreaking stuff. And in Vegas, and remember, as of right now, they're saying that the two events are not connected. I have my doubts. They're saying they can't positively identify the guy in the Cybertruck because he was so badly charred. But Kirk, if you could show that image on the screen for us in the YouTube chat, if you're able to see it. So this was something that was posted on social media. I can't verify this, but it looks pretty credible. Defiant L, who tends to put out a lot of stuff, it's pretty credible. So this survived, but the body was burned beyond recognition. And what survived here, you can see in this picture if you're watching on YouTube, and I'll describe it if you're not, is the military identification of the guy who was the person of interest in Las Vegas. So everything was burned beyond recognition. The body is charred beyond recognition. Police cannot make an identification as of yet. All the weapons, charred beyond recognition. But this guy's face is clearly visible in this picture. And his name is visible for the most part. It's a little bit burnt up. And somehow this United States government uniform services army identification remained. So some people find that to be suspicious. Years ago, I would not have found it suspicious. I would have just said, well, it's a coincidence. Nowadays, I don't believe in coincidences. I guess I've become very jaded. Here's the video of the Cybertruck exploding outside of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. If you haven't seen this yet, it is pretty amazing. There's no audio of this. This is a visual for our YouTube audience only, a Zioli Show bonus for you. You've probably have seen it yourself right now, but this is the video, cut number 8. And you can see how it just goes up like that, like boom. I'll tell you something else, too. It went up very, very fast, but the fact that it was a Tesla Cybertruck was actually a really important thing to protect people and their lives, as was explained by the police when they gave their press briefing. But I think this guy in Vegas was sending a message. Obviously, it's a Tesla, and it's outside the Trump Hotel. So Tesla's Elon Musk. You don't have to be a genius to say that there's probably something going on here. By the way, if you're wondering, the Sugar Bowl right now in New Orleans, it's tied at 3-3, second quarter, a minute and 45 seconds left to go till halftime. So there you go. Yes, and actually, yes, we lost an Odyssey employee who was from New Jersey, who was one of the people that died in the attack in New Orleans. So I don't know if we can publicly share that yet, Matt, or not. I don't know, but I did see that email from our CEO.
I don't know how much of it we're able to share.
Okay. But yeah, that's very sad news. I don't know if they've have they identified all the victims yet? I don't know.
I have not seen a list, so that's why, yeah, maybe we shouldn't say the name or anything.
Yeah, I don't want to risk it just in case, but sad stuff. Here's the Las Vegas police praising Elon Musk for his help after the Cybertruck explosion outside the hotel. Cut number 9.
Has the LAPD been in contact with Tesla Co. to get analytics from the vehicle cameras?
Yes, actually, I have to thank Elon Musk specifically. He gave us quite a bit of additional information in regards to how the vehicle was locked after it exploded due to the force of the nature, or the nature of the force from the explosion, as well as being able to capture all of the video from the Tesla charging stations across the country. And they were sent, he sent that directly to us, so I appreciate his help on that. I'll take one more question.
Good, excellent stuff. All right, there's more to come on this. CBS News journalist shredding the media, the most underreported story in 2024. Plus more reaction to the terror attack in NOLA and Las Vegas. And CBS's Jan Crawford eviscerates the calculated effort to undermine the legitimacy of the United States Supreme Court by Democrats. We'll talk about all that as the show goes on. A little bit later in the show, you're going to meet the guy who wants to be the new chair of the Pennsylvania Republican Party. And we'll talk to him a little bit later as well. So 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. Emmons Roofing and Siding, my go-to, my friends. And they're going to do a great job for you and your home. And each and every one of my listeners, 10% off. That's right. A 10% off inflation relief discount on Anderson Window Replacement, roofing, siding, and doors, and so much more. Plus, if you need a new roof, you're going to have the Owens Corning Shingle, the best in the business, with a lifetime warranty on that roof. So trust me when I tell you, Emmons is the real deal. They have worked on two different homes of mine. I don't own two homes, but I did own a home that we sold, and they did the bathroom in that home, because yes, Emmons even has a remodeling division, and they replaced our windows, doors, and the roof as well. So we have a lifetime warranty on that roof, which is transferable. And in our new home, they've already replaced some skylights and some doors for us, with more work to come. So reach out to Emmons today. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and you can trust that they'll do the job right. Your satisfaction guaranteed. 10% off inflation relief discount, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, we got to ask if we'll keep the YouTube stream going till 7. Sure, I'm just not going to be on it. But you can keep your chit-chat going. No problem.
You don't want to be on camera for an extra hour?
No, I don't need 3 hours is plenty. More than enough. Plenty of time. Because, you know, it's also too in the by the last hour, I'm cranky. I'm tired. I don't have anyone applying my makeup. It's a long time to be on camera. You know what I mean?
I can imagine.
So
I don't even like when the Justin cam goes live.
Because then you're in the Justin
I'm
camp.
In the background, yeah.
Yeah. So, but Justin's doing a hell of a job covering up the K.
Oh, no. I turned that whole thing around so it's not
smart
even
man.
Facing the thing.
See that? That's good. Just turn it back before you leave. Otherwise, we'll get a memo from Stalker.
We don't want that.
We do not want that. No, sir. And what else did I want to mention? Oh, trying to think. Yeah, I got, I was in Mexico. You know, I mentioned that. Told you guys that. I took Bridget. We went for a trip to Mexico. We were down there for, 5 days, 6 nights. And Mama Zioli and Papa Zioli stay with the kids. The video of Mama Zioli opening her Trump perfume on Instagram is a viral sensation. Did you see that?
I haven't, but I'm frantically searching for it right now.
Yeah, maybe what I'll do is I'll send this to you. I don't know if we have time to get it into the chat for today because it's on Instagram. But I'll send it to you guys and we'll see if we can add it to the chat. I just thought about this. But if not, this is a good opportunity to plug my Instagram page at Zioli Show. As of right now, Mama Zioli has gotten close to 10,000 views. And the total watch time on Mama Zioli opening her Trump perfume is 2 days of watch time. As in, like, if you add up all the hours of people that watched. Now, I'm getting a lot of trolls on this, too. So in addition to a lot of nice comments, got a lot of nasty comments from people saying, like, the Trump perfume smells like poo and that sort of thing and gross. And Trumpers love their love the smell of poop. Wait, you all can afford a Essie perfume, but not eggs and gasoline, smiley faces. Smells like fascism mixed with authoritarianism with notes of theocracy. That was one person's comment. Why does Trump have a perfume? Smells like poop. Cheesy. And then, yeah, there's a lot of trolls. But then a lot of nice comments about Mama Zioli and how young and beautiful she looks. So Mama Zioli wanted me to convey how you made her Christmas by liking that video on Instagram. So if you haven't seen it yet, go to Zioli Show. And if we can play it today, great. If not, play it next week. My sister Jen helped watch the kids, too. And Jen opened up her signed copy of Dana Perino's book, which I also put a video of. And I put that on social media as well. So, but that didn't get as many views because, you know, Mama Zioli's a star. Mama Zioli and Reagan Zioli are stars. What can I tell you? The camera loves them. Loves them. So, there's no way around it. No way around it.
It's the first time I've ever seen Mama Zioli, by the way.
Oh, is that the first time? Really? Yeah. Does she look like what you expected?
Mama Zioli looks great.
Yeah. But when you hear the voice, you know, be careful, baby, and they're blowing it up. Like, is that how you picture Mama Zioli?
No, at first, no, it wasn't. But now I can see it. I see the connection.
And you see the goblet of wine in front of her?
She was enjoying Christmas.
Enjoying her Christmas. A goblet right in front of her. All right, well, let's see if we can load that up. In the meantime, I wanted to mention as well, the game right now, 13-3. Notre Dame has scored. So 13-3, the Irish are leading, 27 seconds left going into the half. So look at that.
Go Irish.
Go Irish, baby. Damn right. Go Irish.
Is this the most college football you've ever watched?
Well, probably, technically speaking. All right. I mean, I guess. I did watch the Army-Navy game. That's considered college, right?
Oh, that works, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Kirk, are you able to play the Mama Zioli? I don't know how complicated it is to play an Instagram video. Let's see. He's texting
he's
me right now.
Right now.
I saw when you posted it over the holidays. All right, but can we see if we can show the YouTube crew? Let's see. Or just put a link in the YouTube chat.
I already pinned it in the YouTube
chat. Oh, you did?
I had DeSantis email it to me, and it should be pinned.
Oh, great. Then that's even better. We'll get views over there. That's called cross-promotion. Even better. Look at that. Excellent. Great stuff. Good work, Justin.
Thank
Good
you.
Work. You're not just a pretty face on the Justin cam. Useful as well.
Do I get any credit for emailing it to him?
Here is CBS News.
Come on. We should start the 2025 off strong by praising Matt DeSantis and his work ethic.
That was already done by the following people. Minnie? That's more than enough.
I'll take my one fan. I'm happy.
Take. I mean, she called all the way from Texas. That's like long distance.
And
she
Linda,
called collect. But
we can't forget about Linda Kearns.
I have not heard from Linda Kearns today. Have you?
She did text me. Yes.
Oh, she did.
Still a member of the Matt DeSantis fan club.
All right. Well, if you get one more, you'll have three, which then you'll have a quorum, and you could have a voting majority. See that?
If we get three, my head will get too big. You won't be able to deal with me.
Tom Cruise will still follow you, though, on social media.
You know what? He is a member of the Matt DeSantis fan club. He follows me on X.
See that? Oh, the new Mission Impossible trailer. See that over the weekend?
Looks great.
Looks amazing. That guy doing all of his own stunts still? I don't know how he does it.
I feel like he breaks a bone or something basically every single movie, though, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But he's like 90, so, I mean, you expect that. He's a little bit younger than the police chief in New Orleans, but he's up there. We took the kids to see Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3. That was fun. They enjoyed that over the weekend. And Reagan was very happy with her Christmas presents, except she said, and I quote, Santa didn't got me slime.
What?
Yeah. Apparently she had asked Santa for slime on her list, and Santa did not come through. So while she was very happy with what Santa got her this year, she did make the comment, Santa didn't got me slime.
Oh, there's always next year.
Yeah, there's always next year. So. And Claire was very happy with all of her presents. She got a bicycle, but she pointed out that she didn't ask Santa for a bicycle. So she was a little bit offended that she
what?
Got one. But.
How's that a problem? It's like an extra gift. That's a bonus. That's good.
That's what I try to explain to her, you know? So,
speaking of movies, did you see Nosferatu?
Did not.
Darn. I'm dying to see it. I think I'm going to go tomorrow night. I've heard good things, but I heard there's like a lot of Dracula genitalia in it.
I don't want to see Dracula's junk.
I don't want to see it either. I'm just telling you, it's in the movie.
Oh, is this the one that Nancy Pelosi's daughter filmed about her?
That's,
right?
No, that is not.
That's Nosferatu. That's what you're talking about. It's the one where she says that she didn't want the National Guard coming out.
That is not the same movie.
And it was her fault that January 6th happened. No. That's the movie you're talking. It's finally out. Good.
No, that's not the same one.
Not the same one?
No.
Oh, well.
I think you're confusing it.
I am confusing it, definitely. The other movie I want to see that's going to be coming out very, very soon is the new Superman movie. We mentioned that. That's coming out this summer.
That looks great also.
Yeah. Looks great. I'm excited for that.
I'm excited to see the Superman dog.
Crypto.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Crypto is a thing. It's Crypto's first big movie debut, though.
They're going to move so much Crypto merch, by the way.
Oh, my God. Crypto is going to be the man. And, of course, the actor is a Philly guy, so... There you go. See if we can get him on the show. Matt, reach out to Superman.
Oh,
see if he wants to come
sure.
on the show.
Yeah, so easy.
Hey, we had Dean Cain on. What's the difference?
That is true. I forgot.
Yeah, one Superman, you've had them all on. So get this guy on.
Well, I could get Dean Cain again, I think. I still have his contact information.
Fine, get Dean Cain
That'd
on.
Be cool,
see if he
actually.
Wants to comment on the trailer. See
he
if he liked
great.
It.
Yeah. He was very nice. He was with us at the RNC convention, right?
Hey, Dean Cain was great. I'm just saying, I'm not impressed with the new Superman. It's like, oh, I've already interviewed a Superman. Like, no big deal.
I didn't like standing next to Dean Cain, though. He's so good looking. I look like dog food in comparison.
Yeah, I did like standing next to him because I'm so good looking. So, that's what I heard anyway.
People did come up to me and like, who are those two handsome guys? I know one of them's Superman, but which one?
And then the new Captain America movie, which features Harrison Ford turning into the Red Hulk. I didn't see that plot twist coming. But Harrison Ford is playing Hulk in the new Captain America movie, the Red Hulk.
I don't know how
That's
I feel
right.
about that.
I don't either. I don't know. I feel like that might be jumping the shark right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that movie might stink.
Just saying. All right. Do you have Mama's the Only Kirk? Are you able to play it? Or just do the link? We'll just do the link? That's fine. We'll do the link. Go see it on Instagram. We put a link up. While you're there, like my page, please. Follow it. Subscribe. Do that. And that would be great. In the meantime, let's play this. This is CBS News slamming the media, the most underreported story of 2024. This is veteran CBS reporter Jan Crawford, who I'm sure will be out of a job very, very soon. Cut 12.
One of the things we also do in the year-end correspondence roundtable is dig into what was undercovered or underreported. Jan?
Undercovered and underreported. That would be, to me, Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline that became undeniable in the televised debate.
At the presidential debate with Donald Trump.
Unquestioned. And, you know, it's starting to emerge now that his advisors kind of managed his limitations, it's been reported in the Wall Street Journal, for 4 years. And yet he insisted that he could still run for president. We should have much more forcefully questioned whether he was fit for office for another 4 years, which could have led to a primary for the Democrats. It could have changed the scope of the entire election. Yet still, incredibly, we read in the Washington Post that his advisors are saying that he regrets that he dropped out of the race. You know, that he thinks he could have beaten Trump. And I think that is either delusional or they're gaslighting.
President Biden has said repeatedly he was sick during the debate June 27th in Atlanta, and he's always been fine, and he leaves fine. That is his position, the position of many of his top aides as well, even though there is that reporting.
Robert Costa.
Okay. Now, President Trump responded to the idea that Joe Biden could have beat him. And I agree with what Jan Crawford said there. But let's unpack that a little bit, and then I'll play you Trump. So, Kirk, cue up that one for me. I don't have the cut in front of me, but it is, 13. I believe, 13. Thank you. So let's think about what Jan Greenberg, Crawford, whatever it is, said there. And she's exactly right. But all of the corporate media was in cahoots together covering up Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline until that debate, which, as I told you on the Monday before the debate when I was on Fox News with Mike Emanuel, this was a setup to get Joe Biden out of the race. And at that point, it was too late, but they never would have had a primary. The reason why is because they always had the Kamala Harris problem. They wanted Joe Biden gone, but they didn't know what to do with her. They knew she was going to lose. They knew that Kamala Harris would lose. Okay? What I'm saying is they were spending all this time trying to figure out a way to get rid of her. They knew she was going to lose. She's the worst candidate in presidential history. She was a disaster. There's no way that Joe Biden would have beaten Donald Trump. No friggin' way. She's right about that part, too. But Joe Biden didn't want to help, and he wanted to make sure Kamala Harris would lose because he also wanted to be able to turn around and say that he's the only guy that, quote unquote, beat Donald Trump. So here's Trump responding to that notion that Joe Biden thinks he could have beaten him. Take a listen.
Good job. We're doing a real job. We're great people. Many are here tonight. But you're going to be very happy.
Have you got any New Year's resolutions for 2025?
Well, I just want everybody to be happy, healthy, and well. Thank you.
I hear a close report that Biden regrets dropping out. Thinks he would have beat you. What do you say?
Well, he was way behind. He would have, you know, I should have not had a chance. He was way behind her. And we won in record numbers, as you know, in every swing state. We won the popular vote by millions and millions of people. So, hey, look, I wish him well. He had a chance to do it in the debate, and that didn't work out too well for him. That was, I guess, the reason that really led to his downfall.
What are you looking forward to in 2025?
Which is great, a great year. I think we're going to do fantastically well as a country. We're going to bring it back. It has to be brought back. People are not respecting our country very much, and they're going to respect us a lot. I think a lot of progress has been made over the last 5 weeks. It's been pretty amazing when you look at what's happened. There's a whole light over the whole world, not just our country. There are a lot of very happy people.
Of course, that's Hail to the Chief playing in the background of the soon-to-be Commander-in-Chief, Donald Trump. Here's Louisiana Governor Landry at one of the press conferences where he spoke. Jeff Landry, who was also at the RNC. We didn't have a chance to interview him there. We did get to shake his hand and say hello. Very nice guy in person. Cut number 11.
The only way to really protect people from evil is to crush it. And the one person who knows how to do that is the incoming president, Donald Trump. And I believe that his nominee, Kristi Noem, understands that as well. I look forward to Inauguration Day so that we put in place policies where we're putting handcuffs on the bad guys instead of our law enforcement. So again, look, I think that I feel very good about the direction that this investigation is going. I appreciate the FBI and the resources that they're sending us. And we feel confident that we can put the game on tomorrow and get the city back and running.
Well, there you go. Good for him. Speaking of Jan Crawford, by the way, as part of that CBS roundtable, she went after the Democrats for trying to undermine the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. This was another big deal, another big effort by the left and the coordination by the corporate media. I always say the unholy triad of government, corporate media, and big tech. They all work in cahoots. They all work in tandem together. This is now cut 13.
It really started and took off in the wake of the Dobbs decision, the court's ruling that overturned Roe versus Wade. The outrage over that decision was so extreme that you saw, I think, a quite calculated effort to undermine legitimacy of the Supreme Court by Democrats, Senate Democrats, for example, hearings, stories about scandals, some of which were pretty overblown, to say the least. So that has an impact on public opinion. You know, the public starts to believe that this court is corrupt, that this is, you know, it's on the take. None of which is true. I mean, this is still a court. You may disagree with their decisions. It's a very conservative court. It is not a corrupt court. These are nine justices who have very different views on how to interpret the Constitution, who are kind of in this titanic struggle over law, not politics. Even the immunity decision. I mean, that decision was so misreported to say that the court was going to save Trump from a criminal trial. No, it wasn't. That was never the decision. In fact, that decision is going to help protect Joe Biden from any future prosecution by Donald Trump if he wanted to do that. So, you know, when we look at public opinion polls, sure, the court's taken a hit, but that's true over the years. The court often takes a hit, so do other institutions. And the court's opinion, in court's public opinion remains much higher than our other institutions, including the White House, Congress, and by far the news media.
She's right in everything she said there, but remember, it was the editorials in the New York Times and the Washington Post and all their writers who went after the Supreme Court and the immunity decision saying, and basically quoting what was said in the dissent by one of the lefty justices, I think it was Ginsburg, who said, or not Ginsburg, she's dead. Who is it? Was it the cranky one? Sonia Sotomayor. Yes. Who said that now Trump could go kill people and become an axe murderer and be Dexter. Oh, by the way, the new spinoff of Dexter is actually really, really good. If you're a fan of that show, the new spinoff, Original Sin. Excellent. So that's good for her for speaking out on that. I think that that's really good that that she mentioned that point because she covers the court. And who cares about the court's opinion? Like, I mean, it's not a popularity contest and they have their jobs for life. It's not like they have to run for anything. So don't worry about it. All right. Listen, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up for you. We've got more coming out on Vegas and New Orleans. Dr. Wilfred Riley is going to be here. We're going to talk to the guy who wants to become the chairman of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. Matthew Livisberger, identified as the person responsible for detonating the Cybertruck in front of Trump Tower in Las Vegas. And the question is, does he have any connection to the guy in New Orleans who is believed to be the person who did this, his name being Shamsuddin Jabbar? We'll talk about all these things as we progress in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.